Everybody's here. I just want to see what you guys would say.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Good. Our secretary is ready. He is on the floor. Okay, the Paradise Town Board will come to order today, March 31st, 2026. If you'd all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just before we start, let me add, just point out some of the rules at the top of your agenda. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board council may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. If you would, please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices that might make noise and interrupt the meeting, and please take all private conversations outside the room. You can use that area right out there to your right or the room right behind you. And I'll leave the other two for you all to take a look at. But we've shown that all of the board members are present except for Kimberly Swartzlander, chair, and she's excused, our secretary. And do we have any county introductions?
Juan Vasquez, Clark County Commissioner of Justice's office.
Brady Bernhardt, Conference of Planning.
Item number two is the public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on the agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within this jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, and please step up to the table. There's a microphone right up here that helps us on the recording of the meeting. Please state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say before we get started? Okay. Do we have an approval of the minutes for March 10th, 2026?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of March 10th.
We have a motion to approve the minutes for March 10th, 2026. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the agenda for tonight, March 31st, 2026, with any holds, combines, deletes, any items?
Chair, I would move to approve the agenda for tonight, March 31st, 2026, with no changes other than holding item number 6 until the April 14th meeting.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight, with the exception of hold. The only change is a hold on item number 6, SC-260136, Flamingo LV Operating Company, LLC. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any informational items? Welcome.
No.
With that, we'll move on to number 6, planning and zoning. Is that individual? Here? Okay. Would you like us to read all 5 of these into it? So,
what's that?
We have 5 items that pertain to this number 1. Read them all into the record,
sure.
So you can discuss.
Yes,
all
yes, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work. And then I brought these for you if you want them for each one of you.
Okay.
You can have
item number 1, PA 2670008, Finley, Davis W, Nancy N, plan amendment. to redesignate the existing land use category from neighborhood commercial NC to business employment BE on 2.91 acres, generally located north of Patrick Lane and west of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number two, ZC 260126. Finley Davis W. Nancy N. Zone change to reclassify 2.91 acres from an RS20 residential single family 20 zone and CP commercial professional zone to an IP industrial park zone, generally located north of Patrick Lane and west of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number three, VS 260125, Finley Davis W. Nancy N. vacate and abandon a portion of right of way being Patrick Lane, located between Euclid Street and Topaz Street, and a portion of right-of-way being Topaz Street, located between Patrick Lane and Oquendo Road within Paradise. Item number four, WS 260127, Finley Davis W. and Nancy N. waivers of development standards for the following. One, eliminate and reduce buffering and screening. Two, modify residential adjacent standards. Three, reduce throat depth. And four, reduce departure distance. Design review for proposed industrial development with outdoor storage yards on 2.91 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs AE 65 and AE 70 overlay, generally located north of Patrick Lane and west of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number five, TMT 26500031, Finley Davis W. Nancy N. Tentative map consisting of one industrial lot on 2.91 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs AE 65 and AE 70 overlay, generally located north of Patrick Lane and west of Topaz Street within Paradise.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dustin Schley. That's S-C-H.
Okay. Oh,
perfect. I'm pretty loud, but...
Good evening. Can you flip up the...
Yeah, just push up the button.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dustin Schwein. That's S-C-H-W-E-I. We're Company Chosen Development LLC. And we are looking for... looking to build 10,000 square foot industrial buildings on the property as discussed. Overall, the project is... concrete tilt construction. Here is a general illustration of the elevations. Here is an overall site layout of the project. The current location falls within the neighborhood commercial master plan, so that's the reason we need to change to the BE master plan, but with everything else around there is very similar to that. So I felt like it's a great fit because there's one little block that somehow was carved out as neighborhood commercial, but everything around that is BE. I didn't feel like it was a stretch to ask for that. And that basically is under master plan in order to, number two, the zone change going for industrial requires that it falls within that BE amendment. You guys feel free to ask some questions at any point. It's the first time I've ever done this, so I've never even been in one of these meetings. Next on the number three is the vacation abandonment. That's a requirement for the new Title 3, the detached sidewalks. So we're doing that in order to adhere to those requirements. As far as the development standards waivers, there are some inconsistencies on here. When I just pulled this up yesterday, and you can clearly see in the justification letters, they have it listed that I was looking to only put 6-foot walls along this residential area and along this side. This is actually an existing 6-foot wall, but the way that we're carved down, it is 8-foot on the inside. And this clearly says on my drawings that I plan on either adding to that wall, which I've had great communication with the neighbor here. There's residents right here. I've been in total communication. First time I was interested in working on this project, I reached out to them, and we've had a great relationship ever since. There, I also have a letter in here of full support from them for this project, and they know that the phone's always there, and that's the same with anyone else. If anyone has any concerns, I'll give you my number, you can reach out to me, and I'll be glad to explain anything further that you'd like to know about the project. As far as the last item, on the waiver development standards, A is eliminate the landscape buffer. That was the main one I was looking to eliminate. Originally, it was called out for a landscape buffer over here in the back, 15 feet. Based on this type of product, I'm a contractor also, and I do a lot of business with looking at different buildings like this. And one thing I've noticed is, even when those are required, the minute this building is leased or sold, that landscape buffer is pulled out when there's a storage yard like this. Not only that being one concern, but the other concern is we're all here short on water in the valley, and that's the number one concern. So I feel like what is the reason for putting that back here, especially when I have the full support of the one neighbor that's right there. So I felt like that would be a valid reason to request that waiver. The fact that, I don't believe it's necessary in this instance, but I understand that the reason for when it is a requirement. But that, along with the water shortage that we face, I felt like it was a reasonable request. C is, like I said, I don't believe that should even be there because I didn't request to have a 6-foot wall. I mean, we were in discussions at the county and as far as decorative or plain gray, and then I believe they requested that the decorative wasn't even necessary for this area. But 8-foot wall was always going to be there. I feel like it's necessary for a project like this. As far as D, I believe, if you look at our cuts, there is, like I said, there's a 6-foot wall there, but we're cut down on the inside, so there's a secondary wall. I think we're like 8.5, almost 9 on the interior wall. So there's lots of shielding from anything that's going to be in those yards. Number two, the outside storage. Based on the product that I'm looking to build right here, it's a necessity for what we're looking to do. I feel like it fits with the overall area. If you go across the street, there's numerous developments that have the same exact intent that I'm looking to build. So that's why I'm requesting that as part of this whole review, to just have it on document so that the future tenants or buyers do not have to go down that road to request that. Number three, the throat depth. I mean, I've looked all around that. I think the requirement is 25 feet. Yeah, the requirement in the new code is 25 feet. We're looking for 13 feet just based on the layout of how this is with the minimal parking and the egress into the site. We feel like that it's adequate in order for this to work and also it works with the fire code to get in there with the apparatuses. It just takes up way too much space. There's way too much dead space in the front if we adhere to that 25 foot requirement. Number four, reduce the departure distance from the intersection of Patrick to 145 feet from 190. So if we take this driveway right here and we put it at 190, that puts us over here. There's some huge power transmission poles that puts us very close to that, which impedes line of sight. Plus also, the fire apparatus code gives us distances in order for the trucks to pull in. So by centering on the site, it actually makes it work where we can adhere to the fire codes, and that's the reason that we requested that way. I mean, I think it pretty much covered it all. If anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Is there anyone here in the audience like to speak on this item? For these items? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. It seems that staff has a problem with, maybe I missed it, but waivers of development standards and the outdoor storage. They didn't have a problem, and I think the throat depth. They didn't have a problem with the building and all that sort of thing. It's just that it's a raw site, in their opinion, and there's no reason to meet the requirements.
That was two questions, wasn't it? One was about set storage and one was with development standards.
We could start with eliminating the landscape buffer. Are you eliminating the landscape buffer along portions of the north property?
I am. That's the reason that I explained that.
Why?
I'm looking to eliminate it along the back right here.
Uh-huh.
All along the back. It's only really, so this is actually owned by Clark County Aviation, and it was up for auction shortly, and this is planned for to have other industrial lines. So the only real area that is a requirement of the landscape buffer is this small section for this house and like a 15-foot section for this back house. That's the only two that even make that a requirement. It's not a requirement for any of this right here. Like I said, I've had numerous communication with them. They're in support of it, along with my reasoning for wanting to request that waiver for the water issues that we face, as well as the fact that it's going to be ripped out the minute that I sell or lease these buildings. It just so happens in this business. As far as the outside story,
and what about the
wall? Yeah, the other thing that has, like I said, they have in here that I'm requesting to have a 6-foot wall. If you read through all the documentation, I've never requested to go from that waiver to go from an 8 to a 6. So I don't know how the lines got crossed. I think that's what they have more of the issue with. I could be wrong, but I think they have an issue with that. And then if you also read into it with the storage, the reason that they denied that is because of the other waiver of the 6-foot wall. When you read through that, I read through that like 3 times to understand that. Mm-hmm. But if you read that, it says we can't support the outside storage because you're not adhering to the wall standard, because it's not going to provide enough.
So you're going to have the 8-foot decorated wall.
We're going to clarify that, but yes, we will have an 8-foot wall. The decorative portion, like I said, that was a conversation with the county, and they didn't feel like that was necessary for this product. But there was never any intent to deviate from an 8-foot wall to try to screen that outside.
Where is it actually going to be? Is it going to be on the backside too?
So there's an 8-foot wall right here.
Right there?
There's an 8-foot wall that's going here. Mm-hmm. This is an existing 6-foot wall, but when we do our cuts, it will get 8-foot wall. And I can try to pull some side cuts to show that, but everywhere will have 8 feet.
So you wouldn't have any issue with us denying the waivers for 1C and 1D, which are specific to an 8-foot wall request, from what you're saying, right? If we deny those?
I think they, like, let me clarify, but didn't they tie the landscape and the walls together? Or no? Yeah.
Well, the landscape is 1A and 1B. The wall is 1C and 1D.
So, yeah, then absolutely. If that's purely to the wall, I'm perfectly okay with you guys denying those.
You would have no issue with denying 1C or 1D because you guys are planning on meeting the 8-foot wall, decorative or not decorative, to be determined, but as far as this application, it would be a decorative.
Right. Yeah, I don't see any issue with that because it will be 8 feet.
So what you were saying, it's going to be 8 feet all the way around.
Yes, right.
And our planner actually called me and said he.
There you go.
Right.
I'm going to need your name. I'm sorry.
Also?
Okay, just check it.
I have an address.
Ray Fredrickson, Performance Engineering, FREDERICKSEN. I'm a civil engineer for the project.
What's the address?
4525 West Hacienda Avenue.
So the 6-foot wall is there on that, I guess that's the west side.
Right.
And it's going to be, when you get that, it's going to be an 8-foot wall.
Let's just zoom in right here. I'll show you on the drawing because it clearly depicts it. If you like, let me find it.
So just to finish what I was saying, our planner actually called us because it got confusing about this waiver with the landscaping. And Jamie called us and he said, we might as well say you're going for not decorative since you already have the waiver for landscape drawing. So that's how we got the non-decorative wall. We never requested a non-decorative wall. It was a suggestion from them. So that's how we got to non-decorative. The 8-foot was never a question. So I don't know how that comes out.
Oh, let me see that. So there's a clear note right there that says existing 6-foot screen wall. We are saying in these notes, it clearly states right here there's an existing 6-foot wall. We say we're either going to add 2 feet to it or redo a completely 8-foot wall. So I don't know how those lines got crossed. Because I thought it was very clear that there will be an 8-foot wall there.
User site plan?
Oh.
This is way clear. It's way more.
Okay. Yeah. Got a lot of plans here. You want the landscape site plan?
No, well, whatever this is.
Well, they don't have one. I don't think they have one. It shows 8-foot wall in there. So here's our overall landscape site plan, appreciation. But yeah, it shows 8-foot wall all the way around here. So I don't know how those lines got crossed. So yeah, more than, I'll accept that denial.
That's on those. Right,
yeah. Okay, appreciate it.
But that's not like that.
What's that?
That's not.
You don't have that?
This is different. It shows really clearly where wall. I don't know what this is. I printed that from the system, so.
No, I meant you get, maybe lines got crossed. Maybe one got.
I don't, I mean, I just print
that one down.
I mean, it looks great.
It is an old one. Yeah, wall is sufficient. Okay. Well, that, hey, that's how lines got crossed. Yeah, but it's, and like I said, I'm in a great relationship with them, and they even said, well, don't you put it in the wall? Just say, I don't do it. And I said, well, we'll see how it looks. We might just turn it out anyway. But it's awesome that they're so willing to work with.
I'm still on the fence about the landscape. Yeah.
I have a question about the driveway depth.
Yeah.
You're not doing it. Why? You said because you it would be better centered than.
So basically, per the fire code, and I'm not an engineer by any means. Maybe you can touch on this. If we go to 190, it's way over here. Not only is it in the way of a huge transmission.
Why can't you go the other way?
The 190 is from here, right? From the intersection.
From the BCR, that
intersection. Yeah, so it goes from this intersection. It's supposed to be 190, which is way over here. So there's a huge power transmission line. That's number one. Number two is, per the fire code, these depths for the fire lines have a certain requirement where we meet it right here. So if we center it over at 145, we're able to meet the fire code based on that. If we scoop this over here, we will not meet the fire code. The lanes are too long. So that's the reason for that request.
I'm kind of concerned about traffic. Traffic can be nasty at times during the day. And if the width isn't there, you're going to stack them up in the street.
What do you mean? Help me out.
I think she's more worried about the cars backing up into the street.
Yeah, I'm concerned if it's not wide enough. You're going to have cars that can't go in when something's coming out.
Oh, if they're trying to look.
And stack into the street. And Patrick can be busy.
Right.
Especially when I'm going to get my croissant. So it that concerns me with regard to traffic.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that for sure. Yeah. I know we've looked at that, analyzed a bunch of it. We'll lay our eyes on it again.
Okay.
And also, the way they make us calculate it.
Yeah.
The way we have to calculate it at the county, it's actually deeper for the right-of-way. It's just they make us go from like the VCR on the inside.
Which is way back here, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So you got more depth of what we're requesting. It's just the way they make us label it.
Okay.
You got at least a full car length.
And I hate that. I still am kind of concerned about the landscaping. I know that you think that they're going to rip it out, and they may rip it out, but everybody else, because there's residential behind you and stuff, you have to, that's part of both. And so that's my concern still.
I would just ask, and I understand that, I would ask that you take into consideration the relationship I have, the letter of support, they've been in review of these plans, and they're fully on board with it, and they're fully on the same page that I am.
But there's another lot behind it
there
that's
is,
not yet developed, right?
That yes, there is. But yeah. That, like I said, that came up to auction about a month ago, and it's being marketed as industrial.
Okay.
So that is what the county is marketing as. It's heavy industrial right behind. It's not being marketed as residential.
Okay.
And I wholeheartedly believe it will never be residential. That house will be gone in a matter of years. But I understand your concern.
Yes.
Staff indicated that, you know, Patrick being a collector street, it just... You can't have stacking on that street.
Of course.
And the throat depth's not there. And they feel there's no reason it can't be there.
We'll bring that up again. We'll have further meetings. And we'll explain our case. And we understand where you're at on that. We'll talk about the works and explain that. I know that I personally have done a lot of these projects, but I mean, I don't know the numbers, but it's a huge number that don't meet minimum throat depth. They get waivers. And they're case by case, and I understand.
Yeah, that's a case by case, and you're on
Patrick. And it's public safety, I understand.
Yeah.
That
you're on Patrick Lane, it's a collector street, and you can't be stacking up cars on that street.
Of course.
My other question is, so you give us kind of a colored plan here, and the colors are similar. So is this going to look like the ones that are across the street?
They're not going to look just like those. They're not going to match the same colors.
So,
those are my colors.
Okay, so I think they're white, aren't they?
White. But there's a weird blue, it's like a teal blue, it is a different shade of blue. I mean, I tried to keep it somewhat close, but I don't like those colors, so I picked those colors.
Okay.
I wanted to keep it kind of close, so it blends in with the area, but I felt like that was better suited.
So, staff is recommending approval for items 1, 2, 3. They're recommending denial of 4 for the reasons that we're talking about. I haven't even, is 5 yours too?
Yes.
That is 5.
And then staff recommends approval of that.
I think that's just the 10.
10 of them.
10 of them.
Yeah.
And staff is recommending approval on that. I feel, based on this conversation, that there's still some items that you guys need to get ironed out with planning and figure out exactly what you're doing with the wall and the throat depth, and like those sounds like there's conversations that need to be had. I feel like we should follow staff recommendations because this is kind of getting above our pay grade. We're not pay grade.
Well, it's highly above that then.
Yeah. And unless you guys sort it out with the county, if you guys choose to hold your application before it goes before, who's this going to PCC? PC? Before it goes before the planning commission, that'd be up to you guys, but I think
it definitely will be resolved before that.
I think I would recommend to this board that we just follow staff recommendations and let the people who are paid to figure it out.
You want to make a motion?
I will make a motion to approve items number 1, 2, 3, and 5, and deny item 4, subject to preliminary staff commission.
You have the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And you go to the Planning Commission on 4/21.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Item number 6 was held. That was SC260136 Flamingo LV Operator Company LLC. Moving on to item number 7, UC260145 Amigo Warm Springs LLC, use permit to allow outdoor dining, drinking, cooking in conjunction with an existing restaurant on a portion of 1.89 acres in an IP industrial zone. Generally located north of Warm Springs Road and east of Amigo, within Paradise. Speak on the item. See no one, I'll close the public and open it to the board. If nobody has any comment, I'll make a motion. Do you have any comment?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve, subject to staff's conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Good luck. Mm-hmm.
Item number 8, BS 260109, U.S. Way de Real Estate Investment Corporation. Vacate an abandoned easement of interest to Clark County located between Arville Street and Wind Road and Spring Mountain Road and Pioneer Avenue within Paradise. Are they here? Okay, we'll trail that to the end. Item number 9, WS 260132, Rodriguez Emilia I. Waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduce setback, and 2, eliminate building separation for a shed in conjunction with an existing single family residence on 0.1 acres in an RS 3.3 residential single family 3.3 zone, generally located north of White Drive and Ray Charles Lane within Paradise.
How you doing, Lord? My name's Eric Jones, E-R-I-C-J-O-N-E-S, and I'm here helping represent Emilia Rodriguez. That's E-M-I-L-I-A-R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z. And we're here to try to get a waiver of standards.
Did you have an address on that?
7020 Ray Charles Lane. And it's for a 180 square foot storage that was built about 3 years ago in the backyard. Just in October is when they got the violation, which they didn't know. They're actually immigrants from Cuba, been here for about 25 years. They've been in this location for about 10 years. They built the storage because it's only a two bedroom house. Their family is growing, so they have ran out of room. And so they built the storage in the back. They actually had a few, they had a, let's see. So this was originally what they had in the back, which this was just a covered pond. They got rid of that. And this all happened right when they got the violation. And this is an old picture online on Google Maps. And so when they got the violation, they thought maybe this tree here, and there was another smaller shed here, and another shed here before they built the last shed. So when they got the violation, they just got rid of this shed, that tree, and that canopy. And then we finally talked to somebody at Comprehensive and figured out what the issue was, that it was the shed that they built 3 years ago, which is this shed here. This shed here. And so we're asking, we're trying to get the waivers of the standards from the house, which I believe they said is 5 feet from the house. And it's actually, when he built it, when our son built it, it was actually 3.5 feet from the house. The outer wall to the next door neighbor's house, I believe it's supposed to be 6 feet, and that ended up being 3 feet. So when I showed you where they had the tree, and the extra storage at, this is where that location was here. So they took out the tree, they took out the other storage. They didn't know exactly what the issue was, so they just really jumped on it and started eliminating stuff. And so for the shed that they're trying to keep, it's a shed that has belongings in it, bulk items. They were renting out public storage, but you know the fees on public storage just are getting ridiculous. So they decided to go ahead and just build the shed. These are some of the things that's in the shed. And that was it.
Okay. Is there anyone here in the public like to speak on the item? Seeing no one, I'll close the public and open it to the board. Do you have a picture of the shed and the house, how it sits next to the house?
The only picture I had, and I had copies for you, but I
we presented to them, and the pictures are in the back.
So from the front of the house, you will see, it's really hard to see anything except the front, which is this picture here, which is shared with you right back here. See it sitting there.
Picture of the house from the street.
This
so you look into, you know, you're looking at the whole lot as I would drive by.
I don't. Okay. It was just this picture here.
What is the shed made of? It looks to me like it's made of several different materials and stuff.
Just regular wood.
Just plywood.
Plywood. Regular plywood. Okay.
And the roof is?
And the roof?
This is our son. Yeah, the roof has shingle, not shingle, but it has like
You got tar paper on it? Is that what you have?
Mm-hmm.
But it's right up against the house?
No.
It's
about 3.5 feet away.
Okay. This is the house right here? And this is the shed.
This would be the top of the shed, which it slopes down. You try to make it slope so when it rains.
Just how large is that?
108 square feet.
What are the dimensions of it?
No.
That's the other.
We can have the other.
You can't see it from the street. Oh, okay. Okay. I was just wondering if you could see the shed from the street. Okay.
So, basically, you built this shed, cobbled it together with plywood. It doesn't match the house or anything.
Yeah, on the outside, you might have matched the house painting. It's not plywood on the outside, it's a lot of material.
It says it's not architecturally compatible.
It's for outdoor material. That is mixed, it's like wood with concrete, I guess.
Okay.
It's one of those materials that they use on the mobile homes.
Is it stucco?
No.
Okay, and it's not the same color as the house?
Yeah, it is the same color.
I thought the house looked gray.
On the front.
My
house, it looks straight on the front, but the sides
is
still on the front.
Okay.
You can tell. See, that's the side of the house and not the color.
Okay. And that's the shed you took down, right?
No, that is the actual shed that's there.
Oh, that's the shed.
Yeah, that's from the site, like right
next to the neighbor's house.
Next to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
What do your neighbors say about this?
Well, the neighbors that were there, they moved out, and then when they were moving out, that's when they got the violation. They moved out, and the house got sold. They had issues with these neighbors that year, and so a few of the neighbors who got the violation or the public hearing cards, they said they had issues with these with the tenants also. And so everybody's kind of like, okay, that's probably where the phone call came in. Can't say for sure, but nobody's had, the store's been there for like 3 years now, since 2023. And it's tough because the home is only a two bedroom. And it's, you know.
Staff says that the use of the property next to it will not be affected substantially. The proposal will not materially affect the health and safety of the persons residing in the house or visiting the immediate vicinity. And the proposal will be adequately served by and will not cause an undue burden on any public improvement facilities or services. The issue is, I think, that you built this thing without a permit.
Yeah,
I don't know what else you've done without a permit, but we're not here to discuss that part. I have seen sheds all over the valley that are roughly 3 feet on small properties, small land use, was adequate to get through. Can you see it from the street?
No. I'm concerned. Will the fire department, will they be able to function?
Yeah.
You know, if they, I don't know how you get to the side of the house, but will they be able to function should they have to come back and take care of your shed for chance that it burns? I mean, that's the safety aspect of the county is so concerned with. And I have to say, you know, with only 3.5 feet, I might be a little concerned myself with regard to that.
3.5 feet is it? Sufficient room.
It is.
Yeah, they usually go in on the left side of the house.
That
this is the right side. Yeah, this is another entrance on the side of the house, which they can actually walk back there and get to.
On the picture that you just saw on the
other side.
So that would lead to that side of the house straight back.
I mean, it's,
you know, it's a burden for, it's a problem, I've brought it up before, and these small properties where they build a house that takes up most of the property, they want to build a little storage. Yes, you should get a permit, but 3.5 feet is sufficient room to get through.
They'll still be required to get a permit.
Yeah, right. And they'll have to bring whatever up to code.
Right. Would you like to make a motion?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Given that they're saying if approved, preliminary staff conditions on this one. Comprehensive planning, say 1 year to complete, and you'll have to and applicants advise substantial change in circumstances, basic boilerplate stuff. So you're going to wind up having to get a permit and get it squared away so that it's safe. So since staff is recommending denial, I'll make a motion to approve subject to if approved conditions that staff may have. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
so you.
You
will go on to the Planning Commission on the 21st.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Item number 10, SDR 260122 Flamingo LV Operating Company LLC, sign design and reviews for the following. One, increase the number of electronic signs, increase the area of electronic signs. And three, proposed wall signs in conjunction with existing resort hotel, Flamingo Resort Hotel, on 19.37 acres in a CR commercial resort zone, generally located east of Las Vegas Boulevard and south of North Flamingo Road within Paradise.
Good evening, Jennifer Lasovich, 1980 Festival Plaza Road. here tonight on behalf of the applicant, which is Ryan Entertainment. At the Flamingo, many of you will remember the presence of the Margaritaville bar that sat within the Flamingo footprint, but faced almost standalone towards Las Vegas Boulevard. It's obviously for Jimmy Buffett, it had been there for a number of years. It has closed, and the new tenant coming in conjunction with Ryman Entertainment will be a country music bar in partnership with Luke Combs called Category 10. So with that new tenant coming in, the building itself will not change in terms of size. It will look different. It won't be the kind of tiki, parrot theme, ship themes that have been out there. So it will go back to just maybe more of a flat exterior, more modernized. But what we're here before you tonight is about the signage. So for the most part, what you saw on the Margaritaville was a lot of wall signage, but no real animation. It was mostly just wall signage. This has signage in a number of the same locations that Margaritaville did, but the difference is that a lot of those signs are going to be animated. So there will be the ability to animate some of these signs. We do have, like, for example, here's a painted wall graphic. This is a digital print wall graphic. In a minute, I'm going to get to. This gives you, this gives you an idea of the band that runs along the building facing towards Las Vegas Boulevard, and there will be movement with this band right here. It's tough to tell when you're looking at it this way, but there is movement there. We also have some LED displays that you can see kind of blown up in that location. This gives you another idea. Again, it's hard to see, but there's movement behind here. That will be the portion of it that's animated. So in the staff report, it calls out that there's maybe one or two additional overall signs that we're adding. I think that the bigger waiver that we're seeking is to allow a lot of that sign square footage to be animated. That's waiver number two. But it is consistent, and it does fit the theme of really a lot of the properties up and down Las Vegas Boulevard going to more of a digital nature in terms of signage and the activation that brings with it. So staff is recommending approval, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone here in the audience like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. If there's no comment, then I'll make a motion to approve, subject to staff's preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item number 11, UC 260042, Rosso LLC, amended holdover use permit to allow retail previously not notified. Waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduced parking; 2, alternative driveway geometrics; design review for an existing commercial building previously notified as office building on 0.96 acres in a CP commercial professional zone, generally located east of Eastern Avenue, south of Rochelle Avenue in Paris.
Good evening, board members. My name is John Vargas, V-A-R-G-A-S. I reside at 296 9th Aiden Avenue, also Vegas, Nevada, 89123. I'm here today requesting approval for the project located at 4386 Eastern Avenue. This project was previously under a civil engineer who was unable to complete and deliver functional site plan. As a result, we worked through the existing conditions and redesigned the site to ensure proper circulation, safety, and functionality, while also improving the overall property. The request then includes a parking waiver, a waiver of development standards, and a special use permit. The first request being a parking waiver where 31 is required. We are providing 22 spots, and 2 of them are handicapped. The previous retail use required a higher number of parking spaces. However, this new furniture business, that the demand for parking is significantly lower due to the trip operations. This business operates under a hybrid model, including online sales, scheduled appointments, and reduced staffing. Because of this, we expect customer volume to be much lower compared to traditional high-volume retail. Peak occupancy is expected at approximately 10 to 12 people at one time, including employees. Most customers arrive in pairs anyways, which further reduces the number of vehicles on site. We are also providing additional improvements, including bicycle parking, better internal circulation, and a more efficient layout. And there's also a bus stop 1,000 feet away, so that reduces our parking requirement by 10%. And based on these factors, we expect to request approval for the reduced parking permit. Our second request is a waiver of development standards to allow existing driveways along the Eastern Avenue. We worked closely with the commissioner, staff, and public works throughout this process in order to make the site function and safe. We allowed their recommendations and maintained the existing driveway geometry. Adjustments were made to improve traffic flow and circulation within the site. The southern driveway has been designed as an entrance only and the northern driveway as an exit only. Additional signage has been installed to clearly indicate directional flow for vehicles. These improvements ensure the site's functions safely and efficiently while accommodating emergency access, including fire trucks and other services. And lastly, we are requesting the approval of a special use permit to allow operation of a furniture retail showroom with the existing commercial zoning district. This is a low impact use that is appropriate for the property. A significant portion of transactions are completed online, which reduces in-store traffic, in-store visits, and most are primarily scheduled consultations at product viewing. The average visit duration is approximately 30 to 60 minutes, and the business operates with approximately 3 to 5 employees per shift. The hours of operation will be 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and there is no outdoor sales, alcohol service, or late night activities. In addition to the operational changes, we have made substantial improvements to the property. Previously, the site was underutilized and in poor condition. There was no trash enclosure, no ADA accessibility, and limited site functionality. We have addressed these issues by improving site circulation, adding the ADA compliant accessibility features, installing bicycle parking, enhancing the landscape with trees and shrubs, and improving the overall appearance of the property. We're bringing the site into a better condition and in alignment with city standards. Closing off, this project will help activate and reinvest in an existing commercial property, improve the Eastern Avenue corridor, and contribute to the local economy through sales tax revenue and job opportunities. We work closely with the commissioner, planning staff, and public works to address all concerns and create a functional, safe, and improved site. We respectfully request your approval and thank you for your time.
Is there anyone here who'd like to speak on the item? Seeing none, I'll close to the public and open it to the board.
Looking at the building, you guys have really done a good job. This gorgeous building, you put in the landscaping and staff report, it looks like you guys have been very flexible in getting this put together. So I'm recommending approval. And I am not seeing any reason why we shouldn't follow the recommendation.
No, it's starting to look really good. I go by that quite often.
No, it's looking really, really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a house at one time or what.
No, it was a commercial.
Yeah, there were several different things. There was an attorney in there for a while. Anybody have to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Renee, you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. I will make a motion to approve what item is it? Item 11, subject to preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
That brings us to the any general business.
Number 8.
We have that one we trailed.
Number 8.
There's number 8 here. We can go back.
Are you number 8, sir? No.
That was number 8, BS 260109. No. I'd make a motion to return to the board.
April 14th, return to the board.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
April 14th.
April 14th. Well, yeah. Along with that other one that was held. Okay. General business? No general business. All right. Number seven, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote will be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the microphone and if applicable, clearly state your name and address and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Is there anyone here would like to say it? No? All right. Our next meeting is April 14th, 2026. We have a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Good night. Thank you.